Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 12, 2018. Turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time at the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning right now before it's too late. Please, I pray you make this choice tonight if you haven't already. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get your machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and over message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, folks, you can always find updates with the Mission Church, breaking news, radio program archives, contact information. All this is at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, on YouTube live right now, and on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. And while we're talking about people listening, let's move on to our listener base. Places like New Delhi, India, World City Colleges, Kowloon City, and I'm not even sure where that is at, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Paris, France, Vancouver, Canada, and of course cities in the United States, such as New York, New York, Kansas City, Missouri, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Cleveland, Ohio, and Dallas, Texas. Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Please follow us and share us at Twitter, which is Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Lift the veil from their eyes. So, Father, please bless this program tonight. In your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, much talk has been done over Pope Francis saying there is no hell, and that sinners would just simply, well, vanish. So last week, Pastor Carl Gallatz brought it up and said, and I do have a lot of respect for Pastor Carl Gallatz, and, you know, most, I have respect for everybody that comes on radio, and I don't always interrupt them because I believe there's more than one side of the story. But I don't share the same view as him, but I allowed him to speak his piece. While I was thinking this week about what he said, a well-known guest who is also a regular on this program contacted me, and he didn't particularly like or agree, let's say, agree with what he said. And he wanted to know if I wanted him to do a fair, we'll call it a fair response. Well, this sounded great. So today we're going to use both programs to reach this goal. So who am I talking about? Steve Henderson. He served in the last 30 years as a pastor, evangelist, and equipper in a ministry. In the last several years, Steve's been called to the arena of teaching Bible prophecy. His ministry is called the Sure Word of Prophecy, and he has a mission to help believers understand Bible prophecy and prepare them for Yeshua's return. In his vision to share the prophetic word of the Bible with scoffers, agnostics, atheists, providing them with evidence they need to turn to a saving faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, you can check his website out. It's simply surewordprophecy.org. So, welcome, Steve. Are you there with me, brother?
Pastor Dan, grace and peace to you, brother, It's a joy being with you. I'm extremely humbled by your invitation.
Oh, amen. But I have to admit that, you know, you contacted me, and there's the point. And I don't blame you for contacting me over last week's program. You know, I do respect Carl, but Carl's more of a mainstream Christian entity type guy, I guess. Back to you.
Well, I think, you know, after listening to your program last week, I was a little bit concerned that possibly we could provide a little bit more information on this issue on how to explain hell. And I thought it'd be important to provide some additional biblical insight that could hopefully help your audience get a more well-balanced view on such a difficult subject to defend. You know, it's been a major stumbling block in the way of squaring God's love with his righteous judgment and the ultimate implication of execution of the sinner in an unbelieving world. You know, even C.S. Lewis recognized that the doctrine of hell is one of the chief grounds on which Christianity is attacked as barbarous and the goodness of God impugned. And I just really had a heart, my heart went out to Pastor Gallup as I listened and see his exposition on hell, and I believe there's a as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, and I'd like to kind of give an exposition these next couple of programs if I can.
Well, amen, and I'm going to let you get right into it, but, you know, I do say that my position wasn't the same as Carl. I was a little surprised. I kind of thought, you know, he probably believed in what we'll call traditional hell among mainstream Christian, but I know a lot of the words that he used, I've looked them up before, and they simply aren't the same as what he was saying. So I'm not sure where he got his information. Back to you.
Yeah, if we're going to expose it on Greek and Hebrew, then we probably ought to probably put the right words with the right meanings. And unfortunately, I didn't see that happen. He said that Hades was equal to paradise. Of course, we who know Greek understand that paradise is not Hades. And so if there's a confusion there that I'd like to kind of bring you know, a little bit more light to in these sessions. So,
well, let's just get right to it. Yeah, let's get started. I really want to hear what you have to say, and I want the folks to hear what you have to say.
Okay, so let's just start out with this. The main issue on this issue of hell is how can a God of love torture someone without any end? And does a crime fit the punishment? You know, Pastor Dan, we need to understand how to answer this valid question. The doctrine of eternal torment of the wicked has created more skeptics than converts, and I believe that we should always be ready to give an answer to the hope that is in us when we're asked. And this issue is a big issue, in my estimation, of keeping people from really seeing the true God, the God who is love, and how to square out this idea that this God of love is going to torture people forever. And I think there are some answers in scriptures, and so, you know, the belief in a normative belief in the popular doctrine of hell is a blatant misrepresentation of Yahweh, I believe, and his intent to eliminate the universe of the problem of evil. Many choose to believe that in his grand design to allow evil to continue on forever, you know, by quoting a few verses and citing one parable in the Bible, which is the rich man Lazarus. This great lack of scriptural evidence, logic, and rationality on this topic of hell should mandate for us an exhaustive examination and review of why a great majority of Christians believe, endorse, or even applaud the idea that God has a plan to allow evil to go on forever in an unending torture hole. I find it mind-blowing that as ministers speak to their constituents about hell, never do they exposit on the second death and what that may mean. I listened to Pastor Gallup's exposition last week, and not once did I hear the idea of second death. And I'm convinced that for most, it's because of their definition of death is twisted. And this can be illustrated by a statement made by your guest speaker last week in backing up the idea of his idea of eternal torture by exclaiming, and I quote, "Nobody really dies forever. Nobody really goes away. They live forever, but it depends upon where you're going to live." And this issue started in the Garden of Eden. This is what the devil told Eve when he convinced her to eat the tree that Yahweh forbade her not to eat. And Yahweh said, "You will die if you do it." And this lie begin. And the author of deceit refuted death, and Lucifer propagated that you won't really die. And so when we hear this idea that no one really dies forever, they just go away, but they live forever, it's in a stark contradiction to what the Bible says. Satan believed that man was deathless, and after all, no man had ever witnessed it at that time. It was a foreign idea, which Satan scoffed at. However, it didn't take long to tell out who was telling the truth. To die or not to die, and that was the original argument in evil's debate regarding the Almighty's authority. So it appears to be now, live or die. And so many scriptural evidences that we find in the Bible, many still ignore and scoff at the very clear-cut revelations specifically declaring, as the prophet Ezekiel exclaimed, the soul that sins, it will die. And as if that isn't frightening enough, they will ultimately, in my opinion, and I will prove this, die a second time. And that is what Yahweh declared would happen to the sinner. So when he said you won't really die, that he believed man was deathless, then we today still believe that death is not a real death. It's just a transition of locations. You know, you blink your eyes, the minute you die, and you go into one of two different locations. And they cite the rich man and Lazarus parable to back that up. But I find that it's really odd that many believers cannot handle the truth that Yahweh eventually completely rid the universe of all possibilities of evil again. They think that if there's no hellhole where people are tortured forever and ever, then what in the world do we need salvation for? Wow, you know, if there's no hell, what are we being saved from? I find this line of thinking on the level bizarre, Pastor Dan. Many just can't handle that evildoers will perish, and that's what the Bible says. However, in your program last week, your guest called it heresy to believe such a thing. And
I'd like to throw one comment in, and I'll try to make it real quick.
Sure.
You know, and this is for the folks. Here's the first thought on it. You know, salvation is a gift of eternal life. Well, if you're burning in hell forever and never go away, that's also eternal life. So is the gift of eternal life a blessing or a curse? The Bible doesn't say that at all. Back to you.
And that is the absolute truth, brother. We're going to see a few scriptures that actually demonstrate that very clearly. Some that are often overlooked, but, you know, if we look at them with an honest eyes, we'll see the truth of the matter, and we're going to mention one here in just a second. Those who shout heresy and teach that in hell the wicked are inflamed in eternal conscious suffering obviously need to take a good hard look, an honest look at the scores of scripture such as this one. And I'm going to quote it out of Psalm chapter 37. King David gave this revelation about the wicked, and he exclaims in verse 10 of chapter 37, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more." And then just a moment later, he adds this in verse 20, "But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splinter of the metals, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away." Well, you know, if you look at this particular verse among hundreds that we can pull out of the scripture, yes, there will be a torment on the recipients of Yahweh's wrath. No doubt about that. I understand that. There will be a fire that no man can put out. In fact, over in the book of Revelation chapter 14, John writes down that the smoke of their torment will rise up forever and ever. But here in this revelation, we understand what the smoke means. It says, in the smoke, the wicked will vanish away, and the wicked will perish. And it's imperative that we should not ignore that. When the punishment comes on the unregenerate, King David revealed that the wicked will be no more, they will perish, and they will vanish into smoke. And we might want to pay attention to what these words mean, brother. Sure, there'll be a torment. And no one, if they stop and consider what it means, would dare take this lightly. However, some feel that this just isn't enough punishment just to vanish away. But if the Bible says it, we better believe it. Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't agree, then you're going to have to argue with the Bible. You can't argue with Steve when I quote scripture that simply says, the wicked are going to perish, and in the smoke they will vanish away. What does the word perish, vanish, and no more mean to the average person? And take it and look it up in a dictionary. Now, let me assure you, We're going to take a good look at this issue of hell in these 2 seconds, brother. And what I find interesting about the word hell, and we say, well, the Pope said there's no hell. Well, in fact, if you want to be honest, the original writers didn't use the word hell. It wasn't a word that any of the Bible writers used, and this word was placed in the scriptures long after the Bible was written. And I think this might surprise some, shock some, and bring relief to a whole lot of other people. Do you think, brother?
Yeah. Amen.
And whatever this may mean, it will be a day of terror beyond imagination. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But I think it's flat-busted wrong, brother, to gloat over sending someone, a sinner, to an eternal barbecue which with trillions and even quadrillions of years where torture is a goal for the lost. That's what God has in mind, is to torture them forever through trillions of years, rather than accept the fact that one day the righteous judge will put evildoers out of their misery and bring an end to all of the madness. And throughout the years, I've actually seen, Pastor Dan, believers get angry to suggest that even instead of torturing the sinner forever, Yahweh will bring a total destruction upon earth and its sinners in it. Amusingly, some call it the Hollywood version of hell. But there is a Bible story that illustrates this mindset, this very attitude of desiring people and thinking that that's what they deserve. The story tells of disciples going through a village of the Samaritans, and they did not believe or receive Yeshua. And because of this, James and John, the sons of thunder, came to him asking, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? Well, you remember what Yeshua said and how he responded to that vindictive mindset? He responded quite harshly by rebuking them and saying, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. And today, many do not accept the fact that dying a second death is enough, and they do not receive Yeshua, so burn them forever and ever and ever and ever. That type of attitude toward the lost and the sinners is not wrong, and in my estimation, we should not be thinking this way. And I don't believe the Savior feels any different about it now as he did back then. Remember, we're reminded, judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy, and mercy triumphs over judgment. That's in James chapter 2 and verse 13. Well, this brings me to a point, Pastor Dan, which I think is one of the most important of all of this. What kind of picture do we convey about God, who so loved that he gave his only son, who took on our punishment on himself, who went through the most heinous death known to mankind on that torture instrument, and by whose stripes we are healed and have been forgiven? Now, listen to the illustration and the revealing of Yahweh in this way. King David described the Almighty this way. Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. But then again, we need to also look at the other part of this, and I want to provide a well-balanced view, because there is another side to this. Once he was a lamb, the next time a lion. And one day, he will lay down the garments of intercession and put on the garments of vengeance. And the prophet Nahum provides this revelation to us. He exclaims, Yahweh is jealous, and the Almighty avenges. He avenges and is furious. Yahweh will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. He's slow to anger and great in power, and not at all acquit the wicked. And with an overflowing flood, he will make an utter end of its place, and darkness will pursue his enemies. What you conspire against the Almighty, he will make an utter end of it. Affliction will not raise up a second time. For while tangled like thorns and while drunken like drunkards, they shall be devoured like stubble, fully dried. This type of revelation of God describes him as a God, merciful, slow to anger, that he won't keep his anger forever. But then there will be a payday, that one day he will avenge tribulation by those that do not believe in the gospel. And if you look over there in the Middle East and you see these guys getting their heads cut off for proclaiming the gospel, one day, we may not be able to do much about it now, but one day there will be a payday, and a just and deserving payday at that. And so I'm not ignoring the fact that they do not deserve what they get, but I'm just trying to determine just how that is implemented at the end. And make no mistake, there's another prophecy that foretells this very thing. The day will come in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Make no mistake, there's a fire coming, and it's going to all burn up. What do you say, Pastor Dan?
Well, you're sure hitting the words, and I'm sure you're going to explain a lot more in detail, because there's, I'm getting a couple of people, you know, I'm getting some feedback, and people are curious. So, anyway, tell them where they can find you. We'll go to break, and we'll come back, and we'll hear some more.
Yes, sir. SureWordProphecy.org. If you haven't seen my last presentation on the Ram to Go, you might want to check that out. It's in our face. If you look over there in the Middle East right now, it's Iran is front and center, and something's about to happen. So check it out.
All right. Yeah, amen. Yes, folks, check out his website. He's got lots of videos and things over there. You should go over and check him out. Anyway, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Match Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, I'm so glad to be back with you this week, and we're having a really good program going on, which is actually a continuation, so to speak, of last week. But first, I've got to put a plug in for the Wichita Mission Church. Folks, we serve the Father in a place where, you know, most people won't even drive through, period. Right now, it's summertime, the overflow shelters and things have closed, and so we have a lot of people pouring in. They need blankets and all kinds of things, but we're seeing all kinds of new faces. Now, people say the economy's getting better. Well, we haven't saw that yet from looking at the Wichita Mission Church, and also with the donations. I know we a few years ago, we were doing really, really good, but the economy got worse and worse and worse. And so now, you know, yes, the economy is picking up, but the donations haven't caught up with the economy, so to speak. So we really do need your help for things like just meat and potatoes and things like that. We really do need your help as soon as possible. Now, we've been doing this. We'll start our 19th year in June. And you know what? The Father has never let us down. No matter what we went over there, we've been able to feed somebody, we feed them sandwiches. Egg sandwiches the first part of the day, and then we serve them a regular meal at 4:30. Then that's not even talking about all the first aid and the Bibles and all the other things that we give out. So pray about it, folks. We do really need your help. All donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. And if you don't wish to help with the poor, you're listening to radio. Consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. And donations is what keeps us on the air, because this ministry doesn't sell anything. We're a church. We don't sell anything. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. And let me throw something else out there, folks. You know, we've been driving this same old mission bus for like 8 or 9 years, and it needs all kinds of maintenance. Right now I'm looking at, I need $1,000 to put tires on it and fix the exhaust and so on and so forth. For $1,200, I can buy a bus that's a little newer and better. It has a wheelchair lift in it and everything. So pray about it. Take it all to prayer. Anyway, now we're back and we're talking about, well, what is hell? This all came up from the Pope saying that the dead would just vanish. Well, the internet has been going crazy over that. Pastor Carl Gallatz addressed it last week. He brought it up, and then he addressed it. And now today, we're talking with Steve Henderson, if he's still over there. Are you still with us, Steve?
Yeah, I'm here, Pastor Dan. Getting hotter by the minute thinking about this hot topic. What hell? Yeah.
You know, I got it.
Yeah. I know your comedian's out of work, and I'm trying to be one.
Yeah, come to think of it, it's kind of hot in here.
It's so serious, you know. And, you know, there will be a payday, brother. Yahweh will bring vengeance to the forefront, and he'll pour out his wrath in a fire that will consume the evildoers, because he is a consuming fire. And you might want to look at that word consuming when you get a chance. Yeah, there's a payday coming, and wicked folks will be punished, a punishment that is everlasting. Now, notice that when you look in the scriptures, it does not reveal everlasting punishing, but the effects of the punishment will last forever, and we'll see this in common balance as we go through this. Yes, they will be destroyed, and that word destroyed needs to be considered also, with everlasting destruction. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Now, it did not say they would be destroyed with everlasting destroying. The punishment is final, but punishing is continual. Destruction is final, but destroying is an ongoing thing. And the punishment and destruction will be final, non-reversible, and everlasting. And we need to understand the difference between the two. In the Greek language, there's a big difference in verb endings. And so punishment and punishing, if I say to you everlasting punishment, that's a done deal. If I say everlasting punishing, that is a continual act. And it says everlasting punishment and everlasting destruction. It does not say everlasting destroying. And this is crucial, and I cannot emphasize this enough, to pay serious attention to the words connection to the fate of those who decide against Yeshua. We need to put these words under a microscope and understand their meanings. I'm really into detail, and if you're not into detail, you can sure make some blunders when it comes to this topic. In the previous verses I shared with you so far, Pastor Dan, Yahweh's wrath will come and make an utter end. They'll be devoured. They'll pass away. They'll melt. They'll be burned up. No more. Perish. Vanish away. Get the dictionary out, and because the words have meaning. And I'm just getting warmed up on this hot topic. What say you?
Well, and that's really my point was last week with what Carl was presenting. You know, I'm not the kind of guy that I'm going to fact check everything exactly while you're, I'm going to hear you out first. You understand what I'm saying? But the words that he was using, I have looked the words up before. Commonly, one of those is the word hell in itself. And so I'll go back to you for that. So what is the word, when we see it in the Bible, we see it over several places, when it says hell, and you look the word up, what does it say?
Yeah, absolutely, Pastor Dan, what a great question that is. You know, as you do your study on this, in the Old Testament, there's only one word, and it was Sheol. And in the Jewish mindset, there was no such a thing as the immortality of the soul, and this thing of everlasting hole where everlasting burning is taking place. It was a place of the dead. That's simply what it meant. But when the Septuagint was written, and again, the Greek translation of the Hebrew text, there was no equivalent. Now, Pastor Gallup said that Hades was the equivalent of the Hebrew word Sheol, which is incorrect. The Greeks had no word to equivocate Sheol, the place of the dead. So use the word Hades, and if you'll do just a little bit of study on that word, you're going to find out it's a word attached to mythology, Greek mythology, and he was a god of the underworld. And so the translators, and Septuagint especially, they had a hard time determining what word to use, and then a lot of times they would use grave, and the other time they would use the word hell. And it wasn't until They actually use the word Hades, but in, later on in the translations later on, they interjected the word hell, which came from an old Germanic word and a Nordic word, helle, which means to conceal. And so it's very important, you know, we were talking about, you got to go to hell, brother, you know, that you understand that that word wasn't even in the scripture. It was placed in there quite a few centuries after the fact. And one of the words that Pastor Gallup never mentioned, and I think is vitally important, when you want to, in hermeneutics, you have to, and when you look at words, when Yeshua was standing there talking about what is translated hell in the New Testament, and grave in some of it, the word was Gehenna. Now, Gehenna was a garbage dump outside of the walls of Jerusalem where they threw all their garbage and trash, and they were continually throwing a fire out there to burn up the refuse. And when he was standing there, and when he said, if your eye offends you, it'd be better for you to pluck it out, and then your whole body to be thrown in to the word Gehenna. Now, when the people that were there in that day would have understood exactly what Yeshua was talking about. That was, if you are not right with Yahweh, then one day, if you don't get sent out of your life, you're going to be thrown in the garbage heap of Gehenna. And that's exactly, they would have known exactly what that meant. That was a place on top of the ground, wasn't underneath the ground, and it was a place where there was a continual fire burning. And he said, if you don't get your life straight, Gehenna is your lot. And that is important to understand because, you know, words have a way of losing their meaning over a period of time. You know, gay back in the 1930s means something different than gay today. And if you don't understand the original words back there in the Hebrew, and you don't have to be a Hebrew or Greek scholar, you can find this stuff out just simply by a Strong's Concordance. There are a lot of tools out there that can help you understand this. But, you know, that's very imperative to understand when you get to this issue of interpreting what hell meant in Yeshua's day. And because, you know, what I find is really odd is because they don't understand these things, they begin to concoct and sensationalize hell to the point of ridiculous. And little they recognize that this type of unscriptural fanaticism creates more skeptics and infidels and converts. And listen to this expedition that I read out of a book called The Site of Hell, a Catholic book for children. Here's what this preacher illustrates on how a child will suffer in hell. And he says this, little child, if you go to hell, there will be a devil at your side to strike you. He will go on striking you every minute, forever and ever, without stopping. The first stroke will make your body as bad as the body of Job, covered from head to foot with sores and ulcers. The second stroke will make your body twice as bad as the body of Job. The third stroke will make your body three times as bad as the body of Job. The fourth stroke will make your body four times as bad as the body of Job. How then will your body be after the devil has been striking you every moment for 100 million years without stopping? Now, you know, if you were reading this passage to your kids, Pastor Dan, what kind of message would this convey regarding who God is? And in your opinion, how does this characterize our loving God? And how can we say to someone, God is love, and in the next breath, share with them what will happen if they refuse the gift that is freely theirs to grab into, to this magnitude that he'll be striking you forever and ever without ever stopping? What do you think about that? What does that say to people who are trying to hear the gospel?
Well, let me, I, as a pastor, I've been asked that question, or it's been brought up to me many, many times. People say, well, you talk about hell and burning forever and tortured and all that. They have a hard time wrapping around that and having the idea that we have a loving father. How could our father condemn one of his children to torture forever? And, you know, and a lot of people will say, we'll make a fire that says, you know, burn forever and ever. Well, sometimes forever and ever doesn't necessarily mean forever and ever. They could be burned up. I don't think that lake of fire is going to go away, so I would imagine that there would be smoke forever. But anyway, back to you.
Yeah, there is harmony in the scriptures. We just got to dig enough. It's easy just to hear that someone else tell you what it means, but you need to check this stuff out for yourself. And that's what I started to do when I came out of atheism. You know, my first thoughts on hell, though my mother died at the age of 53. You know, she died without God, and I just became a convert to Yeshua. And so I didn't really have a whole bunch of view on this, but I began to dig into it because I wanted to try to figure out, you know, if after my mother died a terrible death of cancer at the age of 53, 3 years of torture and suffering, it was very bad. Now, would, you know, God throw her in this sulfur pit of fire and where he would barbecue her and roast and toast her forever and ever and ever, as if cancer wasn't bad enough, then his view of righteous judgment would be to cast her in a hole and burn her for trillions and even quadrillions of years? I don't think so. I think there's perfect harmony and a way to explain that, but we just never have dug deep enough to be able to do that. And I think it's high time that we do this, because that is a major stumbling block to a lot of people when they begin to try to find this God of love in this issue of eternal torment. You know, and it's underneath the surface of what we just read there, this horror-filled picture, in my estimation, they sensationalize and they try to scare you to death into coming to God. But, you know, if I'm around a schoolyard bully and this bully goes around the schoolyard and he's beating up everybody, you know, I might make friends with this bully so I won't get beat up, but will I ever really care for this bully? Not really. And I believe that if you do not see the proper in the total picture of justice and the implementation of justice with Yahweh, then you might respect God to a certain point, but you never love him. You'll never understand the depth. Perfect love casts out fear. And too many people, I remember hearing somebody one time tell me, the reason why I came to God is I didn't want to get cast into a fiery pit forever. So, you know, that was his reasoning. And yet, his relationship just doesn't seem as tight as it ought to be. And I'm not trying to judge, but I'm just saying that a lot of people come to Yeshua for the wrong reason. Yeshua said, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. The threat of hell doesn't make any converts, in my opinion, or good converts. But if you lift up Yeshua and show that not only did he love, but he's so loved that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. When he quoted that particular statement to the viewers there as he was standing giving the message, he said that if you believe in him, you would not perish. And there's a clue there. The word perish is a very final word. And he didn't say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not suffer eternal torture. Did he? No, he didn't. Right. Peter, in one of his passages, says that Yahweh is not willing that any should suffer eternal torment. Is that what he said? No. He said, Yahweh is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come off of their high ground and get on the ground and turn to the Lord God of mercy and the one who says, love your enemies and be merciful. This is the one we want to grab a hold of. This is not the, and how can Yahweh, who teaches, love your enemy, turn around and illustrate something different in a picture of eternal judgment? It just doesn't make a bunch of sense. Now, in order to believe that evil will be allowed to live on forever, one must ignore a massive amount of scripture, Pastor Dan. And I'm going to quote one here to you as an example in this. And John says this, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Anyone who hates a brother or a sister is a murderer, and you know very well that eternal life and murder don't go together. That's what he's saying. And I find it on a level of bizarre that believers choose to ignore or twist around obvious clear-cut biblical words and descriptions of what punishment of sin and sinners will be.
Let me intercede a minute.
Sure.
You know, here's the issue, and I'm addressing the folks. I know you know all this. It's just what I feel like saying. We keep coming back to the issue of what is salvation and what do you gain? You know, you gain what you should. You gain the gift of eternal life. In order to be burnt. Now, I mean, look, maybe you could throw something in a lake of fire and burn forever, but the consciousness, I do not believe, would be there at all whatsoever. The point is this. To be alive, to burn forever, ever, you would have to have eternal life. And this is what is being said over and over. It is a bad, I mean, come on, Steve, people are acting like, well, it's not a big thing if I'm just going to vanish. Well, in order to vanish, folks, you realize you're being thrown into a lake of fire to be burned up. And you really want to vanish for an eternity, especially when you've been resurrected from the dead and you're standing in front of the great white throne judgment. And you come to, if maybe you never have in your life, but you come to that reality at that moment that, wait a minute, everything I've been told was true. There is a such thing as an eternity. There's an afterlife. And I'm not going to have part of that afterlife. And so then you will be judged according to your work, and you will be cast into the lake of fire and burn up. That is a horrendous thing, to be forever separated from God and be gone. Back to you, Steve.
Yes, brother. We have a choice. And, you know, if we forfeit, and that's what we'll do, is forfeit our eternal life, and we'll get into that in our next session, because I'm going to deal specifically and directly with the second death. I'm trying to lay a base on this first program because there is a lot of misconceptions. Pastor Gallup last week was talking about an alternative dimension of reality. And for those who don't know their Bible very well, what he said about the results of being thrown in the lake of fire may have been regarded as truth. He said, and I'll quote, "The Bible says they are thrown into the lake of fire to disappear forever? No, it says they are tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, that's what the Bible says. Now, when he was talking about being thrown in the lake of fire and asking, do they disappear forever? And he says, no, it says they are tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, let me read what the Bible really says there and what we don't really pay a whole bunch of attention to. Please allow me to read this in the context, and what it really says is this. Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 and 14. At the end, and during the day of judgment, we'll get more into this in our next session. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades. Now, I want to stop there just for a sec. Now, some interpreters call Hades in this passage Hades, because they didn't know whether or not to call it the grave or hell. But I want you to please note that when death and Hades are mentioned here in this judgment day, they deliver up the dead who are in them. Okay, so death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. So whatever is in death and Hades are dead folks. And they were judged, each one, according to his works. Now, according to the pastor last week, he said that when they're thrown in the lake of fire, they are tormented day and night forever and ever. But here's what the Bible really says. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And as always, when you hear someone preaching about what happens to a wicked person after judgment, without fail, the majority omit the phrase, the second death. Now, how many times, Pastor Dan, have you heard anyone talking specifically about the second death? And have you ever heard anyone do an exegesis on it?
In mainstream Christianity, no, I don't hear it. In Messianic Christianity, I hear it a lot. And so there is an awakening to it. Back to you.
Okay, brother. Yes, you know, the book of Revelation speaks of the second death four times, and we'll get specific in that in our next session. You know, as I scan the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, there are a whole bunch of Bible verses that bring a man down to this one thing. Choose life or choose death. And it doesn't waver. There are no alternatives, period. Yeshua illustrates this in some of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible. I quoted John 3:16, you perish or you have everlasting life. You either repent or you perish. Yahweh said, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies. And the soul that sins, it will die. It didn't say the soul that sins will go on and burn forever and ever and that type of thing. Paul, in his writings, and what I find really interesting, Pastor Dan, is when you look at all the writings of Paul, which he wrote a good majority of the New Testament, the word hell is not mentioned one time in any of his in his books, which I find it should alert someone to something there. But he did say this: the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, or Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord. But some might rationalize that sinner deserves to be tortured eternally, and that death is too easy. But Paul tells us that death, what the people really deserve is death, and that is found in Romans chapter 1. He said that he gives a whole list of all of these people who are reprobates and minds void of judgment. And then he makes a statement in the last part of Romans chapter 1, and I'll get to it here in just a second. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. The list goes on and on. Unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only that do the same, but also approve of those who practice that. So what I'd like to mention in this is, you know, Paul says these folks are deserving of death. But there are a lot of believers who believe that death is not enough, that Yahweh needs to take and burn them forever because that's what they deserve. But Paul simply says that you need to understand that they deserve death, and that's it.
Right.
A second one at that. Now.
Right. Let me just a second here, because we're really about at the end of the program for today, for this one, and then we'll come back. You know, there's, you know, I brought this subject up to somebody at the gym the other day because they asked who was on radio last, and I just threw it out to see what they'd say. And the thing that he came back with, he said, wow, he said, so I always thought the demons that come back, that was dead people coming back. And I said, well, the dead don't know anything. And he was perplexed, but there was no way I could explain it to him in 2 minutes. He's going to have to listen to this program, but you know what I'm saying. You know, there's a whole can of worms here. Steve, why don't you tell them where you're at and everything again? And I can't wait for the next part. And, you know, this is a good topic. Back to you.
I appreciate the opportunity to share, Pastor Dan. Remember, fear him, you know. Don't fear him who can kill the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in Gehenna. My website is surewordprophecy.org, and, brother, I look forward to the next session with you.
All right, I'm looking forward to it, too. So, all right, goodbye, Steve, and we'll talk back to you in a little bit. Okay, folks, that was Steve Henderson, and again, we're talking about what is hell. Was the Pope wrong? Did people, sinners just disappear? What's going on? This was started with Pastor Carl Gallup's last week. And if you should go back, if you haven't heard that one, you need to go back and listen to that, and you get a better idea of what Steve is talking about. But remember, folks, there is only one God, no matter what, and he is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and he gave his life for repented sins so you would have eternal life. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father, and not being cast into the lake of fire. That's for sure. Remember, always be a blessing to others. And I really pray that you folks take it to prayer about supporting what we do on radio and the Wichita Mission Church, because we really do need your help right now. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.